Okay, we're doing this. I need to like make sure I drink enough coffee before I like press record next time because it's just a waste of time. When the brain's not on, you know, waste of time. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Secrets in Nature. My name is Lexi and we have such an exciting interview today. I'm so excited to get into it. I'm so excited for you to hear it. But I thought I would hop on and give a little bit of a preface first, give a little bit of background, what's going on, what's happening, why did I decide to have a witch on the podcast? I am so excited to bring Dina's perspective to Secrets in Nature. It's so exciting. But the first thing I want to say is this was my first interview back after like a really long break. Like my last interview that I conducted was probably the end of June, beginning of July of 2022. And I recorded this in the beginning of December. So that was like what, like a 6 month break in between? Oh, too long. Okay. I was very out of my element. I love interviewing people. I love bringing new perspectives and new juicy topics to this podcast. I love learning. I've learned things in previous interviews that I can sincerely say I incorporate into my daily life and have done so ever since talking to those people. Obviously, if you've been with Rachel and I for a while, we've talked about witchcraft on the podcast a couple times. We talked about Mia Magic's Witch School, which we both did online. That was a really great experience. We talked about our takeaways from that. And I just want to go a little bit deeper because this concept to me, like the topic of witchcraft, is so nuanced and so it could just mean so many different things to so many different people. And I'm still in the process of wrapping my head around what it means to me because it's such an abstract concept. Well, to me anyway. I mean, I'm very new. I'm very unfamiliar. I'm very like still stuck in my comfort zone and, you know, what I've believed growing up or have been taught growing up. Like it's a tricky one, you know? I think where I'm at right now, and I'm pretty sure we get into this in the interview. It has been like 2 months since I recorded this interview, but just coming from where I'm at right now, where Lexi is at, I am still looking for that like tangible thing to associate with witchcraft. I'm looking for that tangible, like, well, what does it mean for me? What is my craft? And here's what I've got so far. I'm very new, yet also very determined and committed when it comes to two things right now, and that is cycle syncing and cooking at home, like cooking my own food, cooking good food, good quality food. Like those things have taken priority over almost any other aspect of like my day to day. Very committed there. And I believe I do mention this in the interview, but that has been the most tangible example of witchcraft in my life. And I will tell you why I think that. Every single weekend, I set aside like 2 hours to cook for the whole week. Meal prepping, you know, very, very basic human concept. Like I'm gonna over romanticize the shit out of that. So be prepared. But because everything I cook is going to be different depending on what phase of my cycle I'm in, what it is that I need that week or I'm going to need that week. And speaking of that, just the practice of cycle syncing where you sync up your life with your menstrual cycle and do the things that will best support you depending on which phase you're in. Like the word witch comes from wise woman. And what better way to embody the wise woman archetype than tap into the wisdom that was basically built into your body? I just think that me setting aside that time, creating that space, and having those intentions, like having such specific intentions every time I cook a meal, that has been, in my opinion, the start of me forming a craft, okay? And you can laugh at that. I don't care. That is how I'm choosing to look at it. Because with something that could mean so many different things, and you could literally make it mean whatever you want. That's just where I'm going with it right now, okay? And that's where it's headed, and I'm loving it. So, you know, that's what it means to me right now. I'm sorry if this isn't making sense right now. I usually have some notes here in front of me. I don't have any notes today. I am raw dogging this intro just because I wanted to speak from the heart. So, you know, bear with me. Okay, more coffee for the brain. So, you know, the self-care, the cooking, the intention, okay, that is all my first baby step in what I am going to call witchcraft, because I can call it whatever I want, and that's why life is so magical. I think another thing is, like, when you grow up watching movies where there's magic and there's witches and there's wizards and there's vampires, you know, like, well, I'm literally in the middle of rewatching The Vampire Diaries right now. But, like, when you grow up and you're exposed to all of that, and that's, you know, entertainment, and then you are like me and you become an adult and you're like, well, I want to be an adult real life witch, and then it's like, you kind of have to define that, and you kind of have to make it make sense to you and make it real and make it feel real and feel right. And that within itself is a whole journey. And I know that's very human of me and very logical thinking of me to need a tangible, okay, this is what this looks like. This is what witchcraft looks like. I know that's, like, you know, very natural human brain evolution of me, okay? But that is exactly why I'm so excited to have these conversations, because I just really hope that it serves to expand and inspire and help me understand and help you understand. And you guys know that it's my goal here to find people who have unique stories and unique paths and stand for the things that maybe go against everything that we were taught growing up and everything that we believe to be healthy and believe to be normal and believe to be correct and right. And this is just the perfect interview for exactly that. I left the interview feeling very inspired. I hope that you leave the interview feeling very inspired, or at least with, like, maybe a slightly different opinion or belief than you had before you got here. The last thing I want to say is the beauty of it, right? The beauty of just meeting people and hearing people's stories, you know, in life, and then throwing in the aspect of, like, listening to podcasts and watching videos. Like, the beauty of it all is that at the end of the day, we can do whatever we want, and we can take whatever we see that works, and we can leave whatever we see that doesn't feel like it's for us. And that within itself is another reason why I just want to keep these conversations going, and I don't want to stop. And I feel so, like, stagnant and when I'm not interviewing people. That's all I want to do. Okay, I think it's time to end this sorry excuse for an organized introduction. Please follow me on Instagram at Secrets of Nature Podcast. Please write me a review on Apple Podcasts. It's so helpful and so appreciated. And let's go ahead and get into this interview. This is What It Means to Be a Modern Day Witch with Dina Blondell. All right. So welcome, Dina Blondell, to Secrets of Nature. I am so happy to have you here. You are our first guest that we've had in a few months, so we're starting fresh, and I'm so excited for this juicy conversation that we are about to have. The first thing I would like to ask you is what it is that you do, what your craft is, and what your path has looked like so far.
Yes, thank you so much, first of all, for having me, Lexi. I'm really excited to talk with you. And yeah, my path's been very interesting, actually. So I'm fairly new to the craft compared to a lot of people. It's something that I've kind of been interested in for a long time, but I was really, really scared of getting out of my box and, you know, exploring things. I was worried about what people would think and stuff. And it would have been back in 2018, 2019, around the time I first started dating my boyfriend, that I started to kind of explore these things a little bit more. So it was his family that was very spiritual, and they definitely opened up me to, like, opened me up to a whole new world that I wasn't really exploring in my own household and stuff so much. So they were very open-minded, and, you know, very much did a lot of different energy work, you know, Reiki, body talk, things like that. And they had a lot of cards around the house, and I'm like, oh, this is so cool, exciting. So I finally had the courage. Now I had some people around me that were interested in these things, to start to explore things myself. So, you know, I finally stepped into the occult section at Indigo and got my first Oracle deck. And as soon as I like stepped into this world, I was like, oh my goodness, I just need more, I need more, I need more of it. So that's when, around the time I actually started my YouTube channel, just because I was so like high on life with like learning about spirituality and self-help and all these things. And it was just transforming my life. So I was so excited. I'm like, I want to share my path with other people. So that's when I kind of started my YouTube channel. But back then it was more of a, just like a lifestyle spirituality channel. So it was just my name back then. It wasn't until a couple of years later that I started to really discover the path of witchcraft, and I started seeing other things. I'm like, oh, like this is the thing. Like there's, I kind of knew, but I kind of didn't know, like there were modern day witches and there's a whole other world out there. I didn't really realize it. So as soon as I found that, I'm like, oh, I want to know more. And I just started buying so many books and just learning so much. And I was kind of accumulating kind of things in my room, but I wasn't fully like out of the closet witch yet. You know, I was just hoarding herbs and stuff in my ottoman in my bedroom. I'm like, I'm not gonna let my family see that just yet, but just, you know, just hoarding a whole bunch of different things and learning on my own. And it wasn't until I posted this one video, I'm trying to remember what it was called, but it was basically me coming out as a witch and sharing my practice and how it's been transforming my life. And after that video, I'm like, okay, I have the courage now. I'm not going to like hide being me, because this is just amazing. Like, I love this. It's really changing my life. So I started like completely transforming my YouTube channel. It became like, it went from like spiritual, like self-help, to like full-blown witchcraft and like also still the spirituality elements and the psychology elements too. But I changed it from my name, Dina Blondell, to Magic Unleashed. And I just, yeah, everything just kind of lined up after that. So I've been doing YouTube. I've been doing workshops in person and online as well. And just really, you know, getting to know the community, and just this year launched my own tarot business. And I want to expand that next year, in the new year, hopefully do other offerings and stuff as well. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey.
Okay. I have so many things to say right off the bat. I think it's amazing that, like, first of all, once you like posted your first like YouTube video, it was like literally pressing a button and you were like, now I know there's no going back, because exactly. It was out there. And I think that's kind of like where social media can be like a blessing sometimes, because like, oh, I'm putting myself out there like that. And it's very like, it can be very validating for yourself. Like, I'm giving myself permission. As soon as I hit upload, like, I am no longer hiding this.
Yes.
So exactly. I think that's amazing. And I also think that there is a lot to be said for the people around you. And I think it's really beautiful that once you found the people, your boyfriend's family that introduced this into your life, it really, because we only know what we know, you know? So I think it's really amazing that, like, just you being welcomed into their space, it opened this whole door for you. And I wanted to ask you, when do you think you made the switch? Like, okay, I'm into witchcraft, but making the switch of I am a witch. Like, when did that label really feel right for you?
Yeah, it wasn't right away. It was kind of like, I'm dabbling in witchcraft a bit, but it's like, it was a lot of me trying to explain to people around me what it was. You know what I mean?
Totally. So I can imagine.
At that point, it wasn't like, oh, I'm a witch. It was like, oh, I'm working with intention. It's no different. And I'm like, you know, everybody does witchcraft without realizing it. We blow up candles on your birthday, right? So it was just like working with intention. I'd say I claim the word witch maybe like 6 months to a year after that. I'm trying to remember the exact point. And I think it just, I can't really put my finger on an exact point in time. It just came with the growing confidence. Like, the more I showed myself to not just people on my YouTube channel, but like felt comfortable saying it out loud in person, because to be honest, like, I felt more comfortable being me On screen on my YouTube channel in this community, because people, for the most part, people that are watching this are also interested in that kind of content, right? Like, you get the odd person's up that's like, oh, you're doing evil things, even though you're not. But for the most part, the people that want to see that content, I would say it took me less time to become comfortable on the internet than it did in person, trying to explain to like my dad and stuff what I do, right? And when someone who grew up in a religious household that's, you know, they taught you that witchcraft is evil, right? So, I mean, he's always been very loving, and like my family's been very supportive of everything I've done. But at the same time, there's that kind of having a difficult time understanding completely what I do. So yeah, it took me longer in person, I would say, but in the past maybe year and a half, I'm like, I'm a witch. Yeah. And part of that, actually, part of me claiming that word and being comfortable with it was my boyfriend. He's so funny. He'll be delivering packages for his work, and he'll just meet random people, and he'll share that I have a YouTube channel. He's like, yeah, my girlfriend's got a YouTube channel. She's a witch. Just like tells everybody. I'm like, okay, I guess I have to be comfortable with it now because he's telling everybody around town.
I love that so much. Yeah. So I think it's interesting. Like, it's very easy to say like what you're into. Like, I'm into witchcraft, and I'm into herbs, and I'm into, you know, breath work. But it's very labels are interesting in society, because it's like, we, our human minds love to put ourselves in like a box, right? But then like there's certain words that mean different things to different people, and the word witch is very scary and like weird to a lot of people. So yeah. I think that your journey of I like the way you worded it, like claiming the word, because that's exactly what you did. You didn't like let another person's meaning of the word stop you. So when you, like, I think it's beautifully said to say like, I claimed that word, I made it mine, and I came, you, like you said, I came out as a witch. You were like a closeted witch for a long time.
Yeah. And I think it's important to consider, though, like the word witch, claiming that word isn't necessarily for everyone either, right? Like,
totally.
For some people, it's empowering, and they want to take the word back from what it, like, because the word witch originally comes from like the origin of like wise women, like wise woman, a healer, that kind of thing. But it was made into something else. But so I like using that. I think it's empowering. But I mean, not everyone's gonna resonate with that. Some people prefer healers. Some people prefer practitioner. You know, there's so many different words out there that you can use. So.
Totally. And I think that's the beauty of it being like your craft, because like, as we said, that can mean so many different things for different people. And the beauty of it is like, it's yours at the end of the day. So you could take back that word if it's empowering, or you don't have to. And it's like equally as beautiful. So that was very well said. So what kinds of things have you been uploading to your YouTube channel now that you fully came out as a witch and it's been full blown, like your witch channel? Let's hear about it.
Yeah. I upload lots of stuff. I upload, you know, tips for like spell work and things like that. So the basics, raising energy, why your spell maybe didn't work, you know, all the foundational things, how to cast a circle if you choose to do that, you know, cleansing, different things like that. I like to share spells too. So whenever I, you know, do a new spell in my own practice, or like a potion or whatever it may be, I like to share those on my channel as well. I like to encourage people though to also play with it as well, because there's so much, you know, you can have so much fun, and there's so much power in creating your own spells, I find. And there's so many spell books out there and stuff, and those are great too, but there's something extra powerful about building your own spell, because there's just so much more intention that goes into it. So I'd like to encourage people that to do that. And when I share it, like, they can use my spells by all means, like I'm sharing them so they can use them. But if they want to, like, I tell them, like, you can tweak this. You don't have to use this herb. You can use this one instead, you know? So I like to, you know, teach people that, because I feel like sometimes we get too caught up in like, magic has to be this way, and I have to follow the exact steps, and this person does this. And it's like, no, it's a little bit more free flowing. Energy isn't black and white like that. So I do a lot of that, and a lot of incorporating kind of elements of psychology with magic is kind of my thing. I have a background in psychology. That's what I went to school for. And I believe that, you know, psychology, our mindset, our mental health is so closely intertwined with magic. You know, like, if our energy, if our mindset's not good, if we're dealing with mental health problems, that affects our energy, and that also affects our practice. So I talk a lot about that on my channel too.
Yeah, I always thought it was so interesting how like subconscious beliefs and subconscious blockages could manifest in your body. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was so fascinating. Like, how are people not understanding that this is all so closely related? So what did your YouTube channel look like before you, quote, came out as a witch? Like, what kinds of elements were you just not willing to put out there until a certain point?
Yeah, I would say the most magical magical stuff that I put out was kind of like law of attraction, you know, positive thinking, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So it kind of had the elements of manifesting, but not really so much witchcraft. And at that time, I was still doing a lot of just like lifestyle videos. So I was doing like a little bit of makeup things and like other just random things that I thought of. But the funny thing is, though, it started fun. And then it got to a point where I was like very uninspired because I wasn't making what I wanted to make. So I was kind of just pushing out content because I'm like, I need to get a video up, but it wasn't actually like what I wanted. And my channel actually like started to grow more and had way more people just like resonating with it when I stepped into my truth and actually started sharing what I wanted to share, right? So it makes such a big difference. Like, just be yourself, and you know, so much good will come from that. And you'll touch so many people from just being yourself.
I love that you said that, that like everything kind of fell into place once you decided to be true to yourself. And once you were done kind of like burying it. I think that that is something that no matter like what industry you're in, no matter like what it is, what your path is, I think that's something that anyone can benefit mm-hmm. from. Like, as soon as you're true to yourself, the universe can't not line up for you. And I'm so happy you said that, because that is like concrete proof right there. Yeah. Did you like get a bunch of subscribers and likes on your videos once you started?
Yeah, I think it was, I was like under 100 for most of my time. Like, I was doing the like just lifestyle, like throwing mm-hmm. things together. I got my spike and like started having like consistent subscribers once I started posting what I wanted to post. So it makes a yeah. difference. People can feel your vibe, you know, it's energy is so powerful. So
plus there's not a whole lot of like modern day witches putting out content like that. It's like pretty rare. I know that there is a community and a lot of them exist, but like, I don't know how often they're like putting their craft out on a public platform, which I do want to get into. But while we're on the topic of, since I said modern day witch, like we said, the word witch means wise woman, and it's meant that for thousands of years. But what does it mean to you to be a modern day witch here in 2022?
I think the difference between modern day witch and like maybe something more traditional is I feel like you're a little bit more flexible in how you mold your craft. I don't really follow by any strict rules per se. I'm very free flowing in my practice. So I very much, you know, go with what feels right for me. I'm incorporating different elements of magic from different places. So I'm very eclectic in that way as well. So I find a lot of modern witches are eclectic witches because of that. They don't really tend to stick to a really strict path. And some people do, but mm-hmm. I find a lot more of us are kind of just like learning from different crafts, different cultures and stuff. And obviously you want to be respectful in doing that as well. But at the same time, there's just so much, you know, something very empowering and powerful about just being able to share so much together. I think part of it too is modern day witchcraft is kind of also coincided with the internet too, right? Because more traditional practices kind of happen, you know, pre-internet, way back when you're kind of just in your own community. And then this is what the people practiced in that area. But now that we have this wider community of people all around the world, and we can literally communicate with people on the other side of the world practicing something completely different, I think that's something that's really mm-hmm. cool. You know, I can learn from somebody that's in a completely different country than I'm in. So that's something that's really neat. So I think that's what modern day witch means to me. It's just like, you know, flowing and practicing and integrating different elements of magic that really resonate with you and where you're at in your life, and understanding that that's going to shift and that's going to like evolve over time. Your practice may not look the same in 5 years from now, you know, like everyone's different, you know, preferences and everything is going to change too. So.
Yeah. I think that that is great. Especially considering what you said about like, once you met your boyfriend's family, that kind of opened a door for you. And how we were saying, like, you only know what you know. So if you only know X amount of people, mm-hmm. like chances are like, before the internet, that was what you did. Like, you did what your parents did, you did what your friends did, and that was kind of it. So I do think, again, like another one of those ways that social media has been such a blessing. Like, I learned so much from YouTube videos and from TikTok. I mean, I take some, I leave some, but I realized there's ways to do things that I never would have thought of if it weren't for the fact that I was seeing it. So I do think that's very well said. Just the only difference of a modern day witch is being able to expand your bubble and expand your worldview and taking what works and leaving what doesn't. You have so many more options to work with. So now, are you more of like a, like, do you ride solo or do you have like a sisterhood, a sister tribe?
I'm definitely more of a solitary witch, but I want to do more with more people. I think it would be really cool. I just haven't had the chance yet or haven't really gotten a group together to do a lot of practices like together as a group in person. I've done like some things here and there, but I definitely do have quite the community online. Like, I talk to a lot of different people, and you know, I've run like online ceremonies and things like that. So it's like a Zoom setting, which is really cool, but I definitely crave that in-person thing. So maybe I'll join a coven or just like do a couple, you know, sister circle something.
Oh my gosh, I crave it. I really do. Like, it's so, as great as it is to be able to see so many different ways of doing things on the internet, like, it's so hard, especially as an adult. Like, once you graduated high school and college, it's hard to meet people. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what you mean. Like, I just crave like the sisterhood and the like-minded tribe. It's tough out here. It's rough out here, man.
And it's harder for some people too. Like, I mean, some people are in rough situations where they're hiding their craft from their family, or they just can't seem to find community. And like, I really feel for people like that. But the nice thing with the internet is that there's so many different communities online that you can join. And yeah, if you feel like there's no one in person around you, then you're bound to be able to meet someone online. And maybe through there, you'll be able to find someone who's then close to you and you can, you know, meet up and practice together.
That's like a dream. I just like, just like the sister tribe. Like, I just envision it. So I don't know if you're familiar with Mia Magic.
I am. I love Mia Magic.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I did her witch school at the beginning of this year. And it was like my first little dip my toe into just this wonderful world. I just watched all her videos and I just like kind of took it all in. And what my takeaway from it was really that like what witchcraft means to me right now is just intention, imagination, and implementation. Like, those are like my big three takeaways. And what you said earlier, just like doing everything with intention, and how a lot of people don't realize that anything, literally anything, could be witchcraft. I literally was at my hairdresser's yesterday and we were talking like, do the Catholics realize they're doing witchcraft? Like, that's what you're talking about. I want to touch on that though, because it's like intention. So doing something with intention, and why something that simple would be witchcraft. I want to dive into what that means for you.
Yeah, so this is where people, I guess, sometimes get confused, because they're like, that's not witchcraft and stuff. And I think witchcraft in a lot of people's minds is something that's super
like
elaborate.
A sacrifice.
Yeah, sacrifice. Unfortunately, that comes the first thing that comes to a lot of people's mind. But, you know, they think of big elaborate rituals and spooky things and stuff like that. And yes, like witchcraft has a lot of ritual and stuff in it.
But so does religion.
So does religion as well. Yes. But when you look behind, like when you break down the elements down to everything, you know, the herbs. Well, why do we use the herbs? Well, the herbs represent something. They have correspondences. And same with the, you know, the oils and the crystals and whatever else you're using in your practice. Are you chanting something? Are you whatever? Behind everything is intention. That's all it is. You're like, this thing, I'm adding this because it's going to bring me this. This, I'm adding this because it's going to bring me this. I'm going to call upon this God and chant this thing out because it means this, and therefore it's going to attract this. Like, behind everything, it's just intention. That's all it is. It's no different than wishing on a star. It's no different than, you know, the most simple things that we do day to day.
You said blowing out candles on your birthday.
Blowing out candles on your birthday. You know, some people like do like superstitious things. They throw salt behind their back or something like that so they don't have bad luck. I don't know. I'm not super familiar with it, but I've heard it. You know, that's an intention. You're trying to avoid something. So at the end of the day, that's all it is. And that's what I try to explain to people that are maybe a little bit weary and spooked about witchcraft, is like, it's just doing something with intention. Witchcraft is like intention plus making it a little bit more elaborate.
Yeah.
Really all it is, right? And I think there's something powerful about that because it allows us to, I guess, express our energy in a more bigger way. You know what I mean? There's something grander about doing this like ritual, doing this spell to put our intention into the universe rather than just sit on our butt and be like, oh, I wish this would happen, right? It's using your energy and also taking action, right? And I like to look at witchcraft from, you know, a magical, energetic, but also psychological point of view too. And when you, like, when you put the effort in to do these elaborate rituals, these spells and stuff, like, you're making a promise to yourself, you're putting it in your brain, you're training your brain to, like, direct your energy towards this thing, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to be so much more targeted, so much more on par with your goals and taking action. And that's a big part of magic. You can't just do a spell and send your butt. You have to take action too, right? But it's such a good way to focus your mind too, right? So that's kind of how I see magic.
Yeah. You were talking about just like the random superstitions people have. I'm like on the path of trying to get my mom to like not freak out when she hears the word witch. And she still has like a superstition where like, I think she got it from like her grandmother. Like if you get new shoes, you can't put them on the bed. They have to stay on the floor. And it's like little things like that. And I'm like, mom, like that was like one of the things that just came to mind when you were like talking about it. No, but I think that's really, really so. Because when I started Mia Magic's Witch School, my brain still was like, I don't even know what is magic? Like, what the heck are we going to be learning in this school? I made it to be this thing that was so much bigger than it really was. And on top of it, I kind of had like imposter syndrome. Like, what makes me think I could be like do this or be a witch? Or I mean, like, she has such a mystical looking life. I'm like, I don't have any business like thinking I could be like her, you know? I had to train myself down and be like, it's so much simpler than your brain thinks it is. Like, it's so, the way you said, like, you're kind of training your mind to like know what's important, you know, carving out the time to do the things that are meaningful. You're training your subconscious mind to know what's important, and like you become a magnet that way. So I think the way you worded that was very beautiful. How do you incorporate lucid dreaming into your craft?
I love lucid dreaming and dreams in general. Dreams are just cool. Dreams are something that I have just been fascinated with since I was like very, very young. I remember for like, I don't even remember what project it was. I can't think of why I would have had to make this, but I remember like grade five, I made like little dream cards that had like the name of the theme and then what it meant on the back. So it's just that's been cool. Something that's been a big part of my life forever, even before my craft, but it's definitely become part of my practice in the way that I do believe our dreams hold a lot of meaning. And I do believe that once we, you know, get in touch with them and we start to analyze them, we understand our unconscious, our psyche a lot more. And I mean, that's helpful for self-growth, which is always like helpful for your practice as well. But it also, it's a place for you to just explore your imagination, really. And like,
there's
that's
no limit.
Thing about dreams is imagination. Yeah. And magic and imagination, they go like, they're together. they're one and the same. You have to allow yourself to explore your imagination, and you can just have so much fun with lucid dreaming. And something cool with lucid dreaming too is it takes some sort of mental, that's the word I'm looking for, mental control and discipline to also grow those skills for lucid dreaming. And I mean, for me, lucid dreaming is something that came natural to me for most of my life. It's just something that I did before I even knew there was a name for it.
It's like my only flex. Like, I can lucid dream.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. It's just something, I'm like, I just know I'm dreaming. Mm-hmm. I'm doing things in my dream. Like, I eventually heard of lucid dreaming. I'm like, oh, that's what that thing is that I do. And then from there, I started learning more about it. And from there, I learned about all the cool things that you can do with it and the different techniques and stuff and how you can gain more control and more stability in your dream and manifest things in your dream. So it wasn't until I started reading that like the skills in my lucid dreaming started to, you know, get better. But it's a place for play. And I think that is something that's really cool about it is, you know, it allows you to play, allows you to create and just have fun with your imagination. And sometimes in our everyday life, we get caught in this hustle bustle schedule of like hustling and working that we just forget to play. We forget to have fun and just like explore our imaginations. And it's really tough to manifest. It's really tough to do witchcraft if you're not exploring that part of yourself, because you get really stuck in your head and it's harder to get on that energy level. So lucid dreaming allows you to really step into that creativity.
I know you said it comes naturally to you. Have you experimented with like mugwort tea or like things like that that could enhance?
So I haven't tried mugwort tea yet. It's funny because as you said that, I actually am waiting for an order finally that I ordered. I found this website that I've never seen before called like Z Herbals or something. So I ordered myself some mugwort and some, what is it called? It's another new one that I heard of recently. It's called Gatu Kola. Apparently it's another really cool like herb for dreams and like intuition and stuff. So I'm going to play with those, but I do have like a little tincture that you can put in tea that has like mugwort in it that I've been playing with and stuff.
I
feel like, yeah, all these herbs and stuff can be powerful. Having the intention that you're going to lucid dream is also powerful. And the more you focus on it and the more you study it and stuff, the more it really gets into your unconscious mind and you're able to like do those things. And there's so many techniques and stuff you can do. For me, though, I have to say the most powerful factor involved in my ability to lucid dream is my mental health. It doesn't matter how many herbs I do. It doesn't matter how much I do the wake back to bed method or, you know, lucid dreaming, you know, checks in the day to like say like, oh, am I dreaming during the day to get yourself into the habit? It doesn't matter how much I do that. If my mental health is not at its best, then I don't lucid dream.
That's so interesting because it's like blocked.
It blocks me. So if I'm like super stressed out, if I'm dealing with anxiety, if I'm in a bout of depression, if I'm just like exhausted because I've been working myself too hard and I'm just like out like a light when I go to sleep, I can't lucid dream. So I tend to go through these cycles of like when I'm in like these super high, like happy, creative, inspired moods, I just have like the coolest dreams ever and I'm able to explore and do all my like the most fun stuff in my dreams. Mm-hmm. And then I go through the cycle of not being so great and dealing with some mental health challenges. I don't lucid dream at all. It's frustrating.
That's so but interesting.
It's just the reality for me.
That's so interesting. I feel like I lucid dream best when I take a nap. So like not even at night. And I guess it's just because like you never, it could be one of two things. It's either because I'm only asleep for so long, so I remember it, right? Mm-hmm. And or it's like I'm never really going, like I'm it's very like sitting on the surface. And so like my brain never fully goes to sleep. I don't actually like know anything about how dreams work.
It could be a little bit of both. I tend to have all my lucid dreams really early in the morning.
Right.
And most commonly, like if I'm sleeping, I had a deep sleep, but then I wake up at like maybe 3 a.m. naturally, and then I fall back asleep, then that's usually like when I'll have my lucid dream. And it's really common for a lot of people that's why they encourage the wake back to bed method, which is basically you set an alarm for yourself to wake up early in the morning. You just like walk around and do something for 10 minutes, then you go back to sleep, and it's supposed to heighten your chance of lucid dreaming. It's just something that for some reason just kind of triggers that. And it definitely has to do with like our sleep cycles and things like that. So, you know, we tend to go back into that like rapid eye movement, you know, state, I guess, easier, or something, I don't know all the science behind it, but kind of basically that's the whole idea of it. Yeah, I personally find the wake back to bed method hasn't worked a lot for me. I tend to just have better luck when my body doesn't naturally, weird enough. Like I'll have like the coolest dreams when I just naturally like I'll wake up and fall back asleep and I'm just meant to have that dream.
Yeah, you're like meant to and you're not like forcing it. Yeah. So you and I have both said that it's kind of been something we've been able to do. Like I've been able to do it since I was a teenager. Do you have any advice for someone? Like my boyfriend he swears he doesn't dream. Like he's like, I don't have dreams. And if I have them, I don't remember them. So I guess it totally just doesn't come naturally to everyone. Do you have any advice for someone that might be listening and maybe like struggles to remember their dreams or even have vivid dreams? Do you have any advice?
Yeah. Like one of the main things to do is if you do have a dream, try and like record it as soon as you have it. And it's hard sometimes because a lot of the time you'll have it like a dream and then you'll wake up and it's the middle of the night and then you just kind of fall back asleep. And then by the morning, you think you haven't had any dreams and you say, yeah, I didn't dream. You did, you just don't remember it. So it's really training your brain to remember your dreams at that point. And it just kind of takes the practice. And that's why I like to use a dream journal. Oftentimes I'll actually just use like recordings, like voice memos on my phone, because I'm just so tired. I don't feel like writing in that state. So I just record it on my phone and then I'll usually write down later.
That's but smart. You get it out so much quicker.
Oh yeah. It's amazing. And then you can just speak as fast as you can. And usually it's, I sound half asleep and I'm trying to listen back later. I'm like, what am I saying? Like, it's like I'm just out, right? I'm not really with it. That's definitely one of the best things that you can do for dreaming. And then just like really good sleep hygiene is a big one. So, you know, making sure that you have a really good bedtime routine, that you're not on your phone till like the last second. Try to like put your phone down, you know, an hour before you go to sleep.
Totally. Low dopamine nights are the key.
Yeah. So like really good, you know, sleep hygiene is a big thing with, you know, good dreaming and healthy dreaming.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I feel like so many people now probably are on their phones literally until they close their eyes, and it messes with your brain. Don't do it. Try to put it away. Give yourself, I try to not go on it the whole hour before I go to bed, but like give yourself at least 15 minutes for your eyes and for your brain.
I'm sure Android has a similar thing. I have an iPhone, but it has a option where you can like set your alarm like sleep mode. So my phone automatically goes into sleep mode at a certain time of night. So it blocks all the notifications and stuff. And it just tells you, like, I even get a notification when it's time to like start winding down. And it's like, okay, your bedtime's coming up.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I need that. I need like the little reminder, like the winding down reminder. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So do you have any specific examples of things you've either done or seen in a lucid dream that you were able to directly transfer into your life and your craft?
It's mostly just been having fun with it and trying to like explore the dream world and get it to mold with you, I guess, because one of the biggest, you know, obstacles that people find with lucid dreaming is they're like, oh, I'm lucid now, so I'm going to try and do this, and the dream world doesn't really let you. Like, you try to fly but you can't fly.
Wait, that
like,
happens to me all the time.
Yeah, and it's frustrating sometimes. And I think maybe this is a skill that's kind of like, you know, come into the waking world in my practice, is that I've learned to be more creative and flexible with that. So if something doesn't quite work the way I want it to in my dream, I'm like, okay, like what's a way around this? Like, how can I make this work better? I'm like, this way didn't work, but like, let's try and do this instead. So like that, I mean, that's really good to skill to have in your practice, right? Like if your spell doesn't work, okay, like how can we like approach this from a different perspective? But I've done like so many different things in my dreams, you know, usual flying, and I like to make, you know, people just suddenly burst into a song like I'm in a musical. That's another one I do all the time.
Everyone, oh my gosh, the next time I lucid dream, I'm gonna make everyone sing ABBA.
Yes. Oh, do it. It's so fun. Everyone's like choreographed and you're just like the star, and it's so fun. I do that. Okay. What else? I do magic in my dreams. Like I'll make things like Harry Potter style magic, like, you know, things floating and portals, all those fun things. Oh, the other night I made myself turn into Britney Spears and I did a whole concert as Britney Spears. It's a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, I want to be in one of your lucid dreams. Wait, I have to circle back because I'm absolutely fascinated. I'm really sorry if you're listening and this is like totally unrelatable and you're like, I've never lucid dreamed in my life. What are you talking about? But I totally get what you're saying. Like I've had dreams. I've had lucid dreams and I've like fully been aware and I've gone to do something or make something happen and it doesn't work. And I've literally like journaled on this saying like, am I half lucid? Like, what is going on? Like, what is this block that's happening? And I thought it was like a deep, like subconscious, like, why am I like becoming aware, but like nothing is happening. And I thought like something in my brain was broken. And that's so interesting that like you took those experiences and you thought like, what can I do with this? And like, what can I do with what I have? Because that's like a direct, like using your imagination in those scenarios, that's like a direct skill you can use in real life when you have like real life blockages. That's crazy.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I think the funny thing with dreams is even if we're lucid, there's still an element of control there that we don't have. You know, there's so much we don't understand about our unconscious.
Oh my
there's
gosh,
so much
I know.
We don't understand about the dream world and how much do we actually like have control over creating and all that stuff. And all we can really do is kind of flow with it and kind of manipulate our environment in a way, but that's kind of like real life. I mean, like, we live in this universe and we can kind of manipulate energy in a way and, you know, track certain things and put our intention out there, but there's always going to be some sort of obstacle. There's always going to be something in the world that we can't change exactly how we want it to change. I mean, physics still exists. There's still, you know, different elements. There's still other people that have their own free will. Like, we can't control everybody, right? So it's, you know, taking that knowledge and understanding, okay, yes, we have some control over some things, but we also don't have control over everything. So how can we work around that? You know, how can we mold our practice, our lifestyle, our manifestations around that, and just be more creative with it? If something doesn't work one way, like, let's try a different way.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I was so excited to talk about dreams and I thought it would be like really fun. And we just like got a whole life lesson out of it. So I'm obsessed. And I think that's another thing, like another, we can use that just when people think of witchcraft and they don't understand it and it's scary and it's weird. It's very personalized. Like, we are not, you're in charge of you. Like, you are not casting a spell on him and trying to get her to do that. It is very, it very much comes down to just you and the intention you're putting out and what you're open to receiving. And it's, and whoever wants to be there, great. But it's like, so, it's so not what people think that it is. It's very individualized. Before we branch out, I wanted to ask if you've ever had experience astral projecting.
I had one experience with astral projecting and it was the wildest experience of my life. And I thought after that, I just have all these cool astral projection experiences and I haven't.
I know. Okay, wait, I have one too, but you go first.
Yeah, I did have one. I made a YouTube video about it, like, that morning, because I was like, holy cow, what just happened? Like, I came out of the experience. I went downstairs to get some food because I was starving after. My dad was there. I'm like, Dad, you won't believe what happened. And he just thought it was crazy.
Oh my God.
But it was an interesting lucid dream that led up to it. I won't get into too much detail because I could go on forever. But basically what happened is I had this piece of paper that I was trying to decipher the words on. And I don't know if you've ever tried to read things in lucid dreams, but or dreams in general, but the words just keep jumbling. They keep
changing. You can't read.
So I was like trying, I was really, really trying hard to read this piece of paper. And I was walking down this hallway and it just like kept on getting darker and darker. And then I ended up in this almost like an elevator type situation, but it was surrounded by mirrors. And I just remember thinking, I'm like, okay, mirrors and dreams are always just freak me out. I'm like, I have a feeling if I look up in this mirror, something creepy is going to be there. And I just focused on this. I had this piece of paper and I was focusing on it. And then the elevator was like, started to kind of like spin. And it just kind of like, it felt like it was shaking and spinning. And it was really weird. And I felt like I was kind of going into some other dimension or something. Like, it just, I felt like I was kind of floating at this point. So this is kind of where the dream transitioned into my wakefulness, but I wasn't still, you know, I wasn't awake yet, but I felt myself fall or trans, it's hard to explain the sensation, but transition out of this elevator to me floating above my bed. And I felt like I was just kind of hanging up here, just like lying on my stomach, but in the air and just slowly descending to like lowering myself to my body in my bed. And
did you like see your body in your bed?
My head was kind of turned to the side, like how I was actually lying and like in real life, because I lie on my stomach a lot and usually my head's to the side. So I was kind of frozen in that position. Like, I couldn't really move. And I was also kind of in shock of like what was happening. So I couldn't really see myself because my body would have been like right here. So I was seeing more like the side of my room as I was like falling, like crazy lowering down kind of thing. So it was weird. I could feel my body just lower. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I felt like, or my astral body, because I felt like I was out of my body. It was a wild, but actually a very uncomfortable and scary experience. Like, I was actually kind of freaking out a little bit. And that's why I was kind of frozen and scared. And then when I finally felt like my bed again, it's like, I felt my body just like, I was in my body. I was on my bed. But it took a moment though. It took a moment for me to come back. It's like, I was kind of there, but I kind of wasn't fully in my body yet. And I just remember just saying affirmations in my mind. I'm like, I'm in my body. I'm okay. I'm safe. I'm in my body. I'm okay. I'm safe.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like in my body again. Like, I could move again. I'm like, holy crap, that just happened. And I got on my phone and I started recording what had happened. So that was like the closest thing I had to an astral projection experience. Everyone I've shared it with seems to think it was like a form of astral projection, just like early astral projection, obviously nothing too advanced, but yeah, I've never had anything quite like that before. It was weird. It was cool in hindsight after I was like, holy cow, what just happened? But in the moment, I was freaked out.
So have you ever tried to like do something similar or like have a repeat of that? Have you ever tried?
I've never tried to do it. I've kind of always been like open, like, oh, if it happens again, that'll be cool. But it freaked me out a lot. So it just, I've never really felt like, oh, I'm going to try and astral project, because it spooked me a little bit.
Yeah, I guess like you said, the best things always happen like just naturally anyway. My experience is, again, like I was napping, like all the things happen when I'm taking a nap. I don't know why. And I was napping on the couch and my boyfriend was like at my feet playing video games. It was like the middle of the day, broad daylight. I'm gonna like take you up on your technique with like recording into your phone exactly what happened, because like you just lose details over time. I remember like I got sleep paralysis first, and I was looking at him, and I was like looking, I tried to like look to my left, like where the TV was, and I knew I was like in a dream state still. So I got sleep paralysis first, and then I felt one of my arms kind of go up, and my heart started pounding, because my brain immediately went to that, like, oh my God, is this, like, am I about to have an out-of-body experience? And I didn't feel ready, and I felt scared, and my heart started pounding, and I started like wiggling my fingers and wiggling my toes, like all the things I would normally do to get myself out of sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. I started doing to try to wake myself up, because I got so scared, and I like kind of snapped awake really quick. And like, right. I think back and I'm like, Lexi, you couldn't just let that happen. Like, what the heck is wrong with you? Like, you just could have floated away into the ethers and you got too scared.
That's the thing though. That's like the biggest obstacle for most people is the fear of it. And I think that's why it's never happened to me again, because it scared me so much, and it's hard to get past that. And like you mentioned, the sleep paralysis, I mean, when people initiate, like purposely initiate astral projection, that's usually the stage that you have to go through to get there,
is sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Which is terrifying. I luckily, knock on wood, don't have a lot of sleep paralysis these days, but I used to be like severely suffer from sleep paralysis, to the point I was having it all the time. And the first time I experienced it was in first year university. It was exam week. I was extremely stressed. So my sleep paralysis is very much stress induced. And I had a sleep paralysis episode every single night that week. And every single night, I wake up at like 3 a.m, like terrified and didn't want to go back to sleep. I'm like, I need my sleep. I have exams. It was awful. It's so stressful. And I think part of getting rid of the sleep paralysis came from understanding it more from a psychological perspective of like what's happening to my body, and then being able to kind of calm yourself down when it's happening and find like those coping mechanisms. And that's kind of when it started to like not happen as much for me. But yeah, sleep paralysis is a big, I find, obstacle for people who want to astral project, but also lucid dreaming too, because a lot of people will go through the sleep paralysis stage to get lucid dreaming if they're trying to do it from I'm trying to remember the technique and I'm blanking on the name of it, but when you basically you lie in bed and you close your eyes, but you're spending a lot more time focusing on basically your eyelids, like the darkness, but then all the shapes that you're seeing and stuff, and you're really focusing on that, not allowing yourself to fall asleep, and you kind of drift into sleep paralysis. And then basically the idea of this concept, this technique, is that you drift into dream state already lucid. So you like, you go into the dream world already.
Because you're keeping your brain awake, I guess.
Yeah, you keep your brain awake. It's a very advanced and difficult technique. I haven't been able to do it myself. I've just, usually I'll be dreaming and I'll see something that's kind of odd and I'm like, okay, I'm dreaming. And I realize I'm dreaming, and then I start to have fun with it.
I do think it's insane that there are different techniques to do it. If you don't know what we're talking about, sleep paralysis is just a state where your body's asleep, but your mind is awake. And like Dina just said, it's, for me, it's always sleep paralysis right into a lucid dream. Like I always have one with the other. And I think that, like you said, like you've had horrible experiences with sleep paralysis. Luckily, I haven't had anything quite so horrifying. It's usually like during the day, and it's usually wrapped up with lucid dreaming. So it's like always a pretty fun experience. But I've heard that people have had like awful, like crippling sleep paralysis. And it's just one of those things, like, I guess if you're going to be, you know, skilled in the world of lucid dreaming and it comes naturally to you, I feel like you just kind of have to have both. Like, it's like the blessing and the curse. Like, you're not going to have one without the other.
Yeah. And that's like the main thing with sleep paralysis for most people, it's usually something like really creepy. I've had things like on top of me or something on my chest, or just like, it's usually some dark shadowy figure in your room kind of thing. And it's spooky, but I think, yeah, you have to just kind of get past that fear. And part of it is being able to just have the mental capacity to recognize when you're experiencing this, okay, I'm having a sleep paralysis episode. Whatever I'm seeing in my room right now, whatever is beside me or on top of me isn't real. And I usually just kind of focus on that, and I'll try to keep my eyes closed instead of open.
Yeah.
Because I'm seeing all the crazy things. And yeah, if you want to get out of the sleep paralysis, if you're very uncomfortable, you can kind of slowly, you know, break out of it by just like focusing your intention on your hand and trying to at least move a finger.
Wiggle your fingers.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually you kind of get your body comes out of paralysis eventually, but it can be a slow process, so it freaks people out.
Before we transition off the topic of dreams and astral projection, I know that's a very like masculine, up in your head like way to go about magic, and it's like very one side of it. So how do you really balance that with like grounding rituals and feminine rituals? Like, how do you find like a balance between the two?
Yes. Grounding is so important. And I'm actually personally really working on healing my divine feminine energy right now, because a lot of stuff's come up recently and I realized that I've been very much masculine energy dominated for my entire life. It's tough. And we live in a world that's masculine energy dominated. So no wonder where a lot of us are like this. But the divine feminine is really that, you know, that energy of receiving and, you know, resting and recharging and that nurturing energy. And it's so important, because without that, we burn out. And I do this to myself all the time and I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really coming back and grounding our energy is so important, because most of us live in our heads all the time. And yes, it's important to think through things. It's important to have those analytical abilities and stuff. But if we're always living up here, then all of our energy is out of whack. It gets imbalanced, right? Like, we have to take care of all of our chakras. So, you know, doing practices like meditation and even just like going outside and grounding on like in the earth and nature.
Like putting your feet on the ground and looking at the sun.
Grounding. Yes. Oh my goodness. All of that is just, it's so good for you. It brings back that sense of calm, that sense of peace. It really helps to like rebalance your energies. Just be on the earth too. Like, earthing is really good for you, reduces inflammation in the body. It's been scientifically proven through different studies that does that. It's not just a woo-woo thing that some people think, like, no, we've got scientific studies on that. But yeah, it's just so important. And without that, you know, balance of the divine feminine masculine energy, not only do, you know, our physical bodies, they can suffer because we're exhausted, or, you know, it affects our mental health, but it also affects our energy. And you're going to have better magic. You're going to have more successful magic, more successful manifestations if you're balancing the two. And I think an important thing to recognize too in witchcraft practice is you're not going to always be casting spells. You're not going to always be practicing. You're not going to be active all the time in your practice. And some people get down on themselves if they feel like they haven't been, you know, casting any spells recently. But I like to look at my practice in like that balance of masculine and feminine, of like the active casting of spells kind of being that like masculine energy, and the divine feminine being that, oh, I'm gonna like rest and recharge and take care of myself. And then maybe I go through a season where I'm just reading a bunch. Maybe I go through a season where I'm just learning about something that I'm super interested in, but I don't feel the need to cast a spell right now. And that's okay. Like, a large part of my practice personally is just learning. It's just reading. I'm not always casting spells.
That's a really great point, because the casting of the spells and the manifestation and the lucid dreaming and all the things, like, that's witchcraft, but so is the resting. Like, I think that just the act of honoring the feminine side is witchcraft, because you're, again, you're doing something with intention and you're carving the time out to do it. Like, how is that not just as equally important?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you have to take care of yourself, or you're not going to be able to you know, manifest anything.
For
You
sure. Like you said, I've also been like very much in my masculine, like most of my life. I like genuinely love to work. I love productivity.
Yes.
And it's hard for me to be in my feminine. Like it's really hard for me to like get out of my head and my to-do list and my, like I'm very up in my head all day. So the balance is everything. And someone else might have the complete opposite. They might be very like comfortable in their humanness and in their body, but like the idea of lucid dreaming and astral projection is like insane to them. So I do think a balance is just so necessary, and would, it's like a pillar of the craft, the balance.
Absolutely. You need all of it. And I mean, not just because the society is really high, like fast paced and everything, but also just as witches, as practitioners, healers, we are so up here because we're just always like, oh, I need to like work on my intuition. And we're just like always on, like, we're always about, you know, developing the intuition. We get so excited about developing the intuition, but like we often neglect the lower chakras because of that. So, you know, really focusing on the root, the sacral, like really focusing on all that is important.
Yes. For me, I have never called myself a witch. I love talking about witchcraft and I love talking to witches like yourself, but I think I'm not there yet, only because I think it would be more of like a, I don't feel like deserving of that title yet. But I do think that one big thing, I don't know if this will be helpful to anyone, one big thing I've been doing that's really been helping me get into my feminine and get into my body and honoring that part, I've been like really focused on cycle syncing and like cooking, because I've never been a cook. Like I didn't start cooking until this year, actually. And I've been really into cooking and like taking the time to be like, I'm making this thing that I'm going to eat and it's going to be so good for my body. It's going to be so good for my luteal phase. Like that, just that practice alone has actually been so helpful. So that's like my first step that I'm taking is just like the food aspect of it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then I saw on Instagram, it was like all the signs, and it was like, what kind of witch are you based on your sign? Just looking through it for fun. And I'm a Cancer. And it was like, the Cancer is the kitchen witch. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a kitchen witch. And I got really excited.
That's so fun. Yeah, no, yeah. I love that. And like, just the simplest practices can really help you tune into that energy as well, for sure. And also, like, I mean, claim whatever word you want, but if like, I feel like a lot of people get scared of using a word to describe themselves because they don't feel worthy of the word. But like,
I know.
Hell yeah, you're worthy of the word. Like the word witch means something different to so many people. And there's no standard. There's no like, oh, you have to go to this specific witch school and get your witch certificate. And now you're a witch.
Which
like,
I have. Which, by the way, I do have the witch certificate.
Yeah. So like, you don't have to, right? Yeah. Like, you know, if you, maybe you only casted one candle spell and you just been kind of reading and dabbling a little bit, like call yourself a witch. It doesn't matter. It's not up to anybody else but you, right? It's your practice. Everyone's practice is unique. So it's just about your journey.
I know you said it's been like a journey getting like your family comfortable and like really allowing yourself to be comfortable. But once you went public with your platform or bringing your craft to the platform, did you receive any judgment? Like what kinds of negative things did you get back, if any?
Majority has been positive. I have gotten some wild YouTube comments.
Yeah.
From usually they're like more like Christian or religious pages and stuff, not for my family. It was more felt like a hesitation of like, I don't quite understand what you're doing. And I kind of had to like explain it. And I consistently have to kind of explain things to people, like even like tarot, like I'm talking about tarot and people still have this stigma around tarot. Like it's scary and it's evil. And oh, I don't want to find out that I'm going to die in 3 years or something like that. Like, no, that's not what tarot is. Like tarot's not like that.
There's the die in 3 years card. You
There's
got
the
it.
Death card, but usually it means like the end of something happening in your
like
life.
It could be
like
the death
rebirth
of
or something new, like new cycles, right? So I usually have to explain it, but I don't know. I see negativity. I see like all these comments and fear and stuff. It's fear and it's ignorance. That's all it is, right? Like they're unfamiliar with the practice. They don't really know a lot. So I try to approach everything, even the negative comments. Sometimes I ignore them, but sometimes I'll approach them with just like, I'm just gonna like be kind and educate you, just give you a new perspective because you clearly haven't heard any other perspectives. You're new to this craft. You're new to these ideas. So I give them that and they have a choice. They can accept that. They can listen to that. They can deny it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. It's, you know, it's nothing personal against me. I know what I'm practicing is good. And I know what I'm sharing is helpful to people. Like, that's my goal, is to teach people how they can use their practice to empower themselves and feel more confident in their daily life. And just like love themselves more and take better care of themselves. And I'm not perfect with that either, but I like to share my journey from like a genuine place of like, okay, I'm trying to better myself. Here is what's been working for me. You know, this might help you too. And if someone wants to come on my channel and be like, oh, you're a horrible person, blah, blah, blah. I know that's not true. So
yeah.
And then love and light, let them be on their way. You know, it's just, yeah, it's all you can do.
And I think when you're confident in what you're doing and you're confident in your messages and you're confident in your craft, like what people say means that much less. Mm-hmm. When you're like first starting out and you're like, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing and I don't really know if it's the right thing for me, then what people say, I think, really holds a lot of weight. But the more confident you are, the more you know, like, well, I'm doing this for me. Exactly. And I also think for me, like, witchcraft equals self-care. Everything that I do and like my self-care routine and like I said, like cooking myself meals and doing this and doing that, like if I want to call it witchcraft, that's my intention behind it. And it will just mean that much more. I hope that makes sense.
For sure. That's beautiful. And I think that's a lot of people don't realize is it can be that simple. You know, it's just the act of doing something with intention. You're putting some energy into your food. You're putting love into your food. You're putting love into your skincare routine, whatever it is. Like, that can be seen as like glamour magic. You know, you're charging your skincare, you're charging your makeup with that intention that when you put it on, you're going to feel so beautiful. You're going to feel so confident. You're going to feel, you know, your best self. That's witchcraft because you're working with intention. And there's nothing bad about that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I've actually never like talked about dreams or like my dreaming experiences or my sleep paralysis experience. I've never talked about that in front of the microphone before. So I'm so excited that we were able to go there. Please tell everyone where they can find you on YouTube, in the world, on the internet, and how they can see your content.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can find me on YouTube at Magic Unleashed, and that's magic with a CK. I like to add the K in to distinguish between, you know, show magic and like energy magic, but everyone has their own preferences. And you can find me on Instagram at Dina Blondell, DeanaBlondell. And yeah, everything else, my website, everything else is linked on my Instagram in my link tree.
Thank you so much for being here. It was an absolute honor to talk to you, and maybe we'll have you on again in the future.
Yes, I would love to talk to you more and definitely talk to you more about dreams. I've got stories for days.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So it'll just be like a to be continued with these juicy, juicy stories.
Yes.